Thank you and good morning. The book of Acts records several cases of conversion which show us how people became Christians in the first century when the gospel was first preached. They tell us what people did to be saved. Well, since the gospel that was preached then is the same gospel that is to be preached today, we conclude that what they did to be saved is what we must do today to be saved. Whatever was necessary for those first century persons to do for salvation is exactly what is necessary for us to do in order to be saved today. And so, as we study these cases of conversion recorded in the book of Acts, we are studying what is necessary for our salvation. Today, I want us to consider the conversion of the Philippian jailer, recorded in Acts 16, verses 25 through 34. Now, in verses 20 through 24, we read of the Apostle Paul and Silas, his preaching companion, being beaten with rods and thrown into prison. The jailer was commanded to keep them securely. The text says, having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, though they had been beaten and placed in stocks, Paul and Silas's spirits were not broken. At midnight, these two dedicated Christians lifted their voices in prayer and in singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners heard them. Now, verse 26 says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Now, the jailer had been asleep. When he was awakened by the earthquake and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword in order to commit suicide, assuming that the prisoners had escaped. You know, someone might be thinking, why would he try to kill himself just because his prisoners had escaped? Well, the reason is, Roman law stated that anyone who had charge of a prisoner and allowed that prisoner to escape would suffer the same penalty that the prisoner was to suffer. Suicide would have been a kinder and gentler way to die, as the Romans sure would have required the life of the jailer in this instance. Paul perceives that the jailer is about to kill himself and calls out with a loud voice to him, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." None of the prisoners had escaped. The jailer then calls for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought them out of the inner prison and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Well, they said to him in verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Now, some people will stop right there and close their Bibles and say, that's all you have to do to be saved, just believe in Jesus, faith only. But the word "only" is not in the verse. They didn't say, "Only believe and you will be saved." And also, this is not where the story ends. Verse 32 says, "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house." Paul and Silas had more to say in teaching them than what is just stated in verse 31. And verses 33 and 34 says, "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household." So here is a man who is rejoicing. Why? Because now he is saved. He is saved from his sins. Now, consider with me some observations about this case of conversion. First of all, this case of conversion teaches us that there is something man must do to be saved. When the question was asked, "What must I do to be saved?" it was answered with something to do. As a matter of fact, every time this question is asked, or one similar to it is asked in Scripture, the answer is always something to do. When the Jews on the day of Pentecost asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter the Apostle told them to do something. He told them to, and I quote, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Acts 2 and verse 38. You know, there are those who believe that all men will be saved regardless of what they believe or do. Well, these passages teach otherwise. Paul and Silas are saying to the Philippian jailer that in order for him to be saved, he must do something. What must he do? He must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, belief in Jesus is something we do. In John chapter 6 and in verse 28, Jesus is asked the question, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And notice Jesus' response, verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." And so belief in Jesus is a work that God has commanded us to do. And so faith is a work. Either we choose to do it or we do not. And only those who choose to believe in Jesus will be saved. Jesus said to some Jews in John 8 and verse 24, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." And secondly, this case of conversion is not teaching us that salvation is by belief alone. As we mentioned, some people believe that this passage teaches salvation by faith alone. And what they mean by that is that one is saved the moment he believes in Jesus. They mean that one is saved at the point of faith and without further acts of obedience. Well, this passage teaches that one must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But it does not say that one is saved the moment he believes in his heart without further acts of obedience. The question is, what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? What does it mean to have faith in Jesus? You know, the Bible teaches that saving faith is a faith with obedience. It is a faith that will show itself in works. James says in James 2 and verse 14, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" The question that James is asking is, can faith without works save a man? Well, James is saying no, faith without works cannot save him. He said in verse 17, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." In verse 24, he said, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only." The only time in Scripture where the phrase faith only is found is here in this verse. And James says that justification, which means being free from the guilt of sin, is not by faith only. Yes, we're justified by faith, but it is a faith that shows itself in obedience. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is filled with examples of saving faith. In the last verse of chapter 10, the Hebrew writer says, "But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul." But what does it mean to have faith unto the saving of the soul? Well, the Hebrew writer answers that question for us in the very next chapter, chapter 11. He shows us what it means to have faith by showing us what faith did in the lives of others, such as Abel, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and others. In verse 7, he said, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Now notice, by faith Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Now Noah did not simply believe and cause the ark to appear. He believed and prepared an ark. He built it. The building was a demonstration of his faith. The building was counted as an element of his faith. Without the obedience in building, there would have been no saving faith. Look also in Hebrews 11, verse 30. It says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days." Now this is a reference to the 6th chapter of the book of Joshua. Now God tells Joshua here in this chapter, "I have given Jericho into your hand." But God commands Joshua that certain ones are to march around the walls of the city before the walls would fall and the city would be given to them. The priests are to blow their trumpets. At a certain time the people are to shout, and then the walls would fall. But the Hebrew writer said that the walls fell by faith. Now, we understand that the marching, the blowing of the trumpets, and the shouting of the people were essential for the walls to fall and for Israel to take the city. But at the same time, the walls falling was by faith. The fact is, the marching was faith. The marching was faith in action, faith expressed, faith embodied. That is what true, genuine faith is, faith in action. Faith without the action is dead faith, and that will not save. And so, when the Philippian jailer is told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, what kind of faith is that? Well, it is an obedient faith, a faith in action. This is the only kind of faith that will save. And that's the kind of faith that the Philippian jailer had. It says in verse 33, back in Acts 16, "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized." Now notice, the jailer, the same hour of the night, washed Paul and Silas' stripes where they had been beaten. Would not this indicate repentance? You know, the jailer may not have actually beaten Paul and Silas, but it is likely that he had watched and consented to the beating. Also, he showed no compassion upon them after the beating was over because he locked them in stocks in the inner prison. It doesn't seem that he had done anything to ease their pain. But after he had heard the word of the Lord preached, he took them and washed their stripes. This denotes a change in his conviction about the gospel and these preachers. Washing their stripes was a manifestation of the fruits of repentance. And repentance is necessary for salvation. Read Acts 2 and verse 38 and Acts 3 and verse 19. In order for one to be saved, he must repent. And a person who has saving faith will do just that. He will repent of his sins. And the text also says that the jailer and his household were baptized immediately that night. Verse 33. Why were they baptized in the middle of the night? You see, this was sometime between midnight and daybreak. Why did Paul go through the trouble of baptizing them immediately? Well, if baptism is necessary for them to be saved, then we can understand why they did it immediately. You don't wait to do what is necessary for salvation. You know, Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22, verse 16. And so baptism is necessary for one's sins to be washed away. And you don't wait to do that. A person who has saving faith will be baptized immediately to wash away his sins. And that's what the jailer and his household did. Well, when the jailer returned from having been baptized, the scripture then says, "Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household." Having repented and was baptized, he is now able to rejoice. You see, he is saved. But notice, it says he rejoiced having believed in God. His response to the gospel in repentance and baptism is included in believing in God. And so saving faith includes repentance and baptism. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, we would like to hear from you. There are three ways that you may make your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.